Greetings, God bless, and welcome to the Beginning and End Podcast, the official podcast of the beginningandend.com website. We are, of course, a Christian website dedicated to covering Christian news, end time Bible prophecy, the Nephilim, pop culture, and of course, Bible study to focus on God's Word. And that is our theme today, as we continue in our series, Let the Bible Speak, where we just review a single chapter from the Bible and let God's Word really speak to our hearts and our minds. And of course, you can find a link to our website, to our social media, to our YouTube channel, to all our outlets located in the show description. And at beginningandend.com, we have hundreds of articles on many different topics to share God's Word with this world. And today we are continuing in the book of Daniel. It's so great to be back. We took a break from this series, but we are definitely back and resuming it. This is Daniel chapter 5 we will be looking at today. Of course, we dealt in Daniel chapters 1 to 4 with King Nebuchadnezzar, and now we're moving on to a later generation, and we will see his grandson, actually. This is near the end of the Babylonian kingdom and the Babylonian captivity for the Jewish people who were taken there after the conquest by Nebuchadnezzar in approximately 600 BC to 586 BC, when Israel was defeated and ultimately the temple destroyed. So we're seeing the prophet Daniel near the end of his time dealing with Babylon and how this king comes to an end. And our show's title today is Facing the Wrath of God. So without further ado, let's begin Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, and of stone. And so right here from the onset, we see a picture of the heart of Belshazzar. So he is now currently the current ruler of the Babylonian Empire, and he is taking the very vessels from the temple, from the holy temple of God. These were special items that were created at God's direction. And what is he doing with them? He's using them to party, to drink wine for he and his lords, for his concubines. This is obviously a great disrespect towards God. And we're really seeing here is the heart of an unbeliever. He is expressing no regard, no fear of the Lord, and no concern, and really mocking God by taking these special temple vessels and using them to have a drunken party. Ultimately, you know, these vessels would actually be returned to Israel, and we will certainly get to that. But at this point, no. And another important thing to bring up is that we see that when they drink, we see that in combination with the rejection of God, the doubt and disbelief of God, that there's also idolatry, because they didn't just drink wine. We read in verse 4 that they praise the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And so this immediately brings our attention to Revelation, actually, chapter 9. And a very interesting passage. And of course, as we have mentioned in this series, there are many parallels between the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. In fact, the book of Daniel, as we see, we will see as we continue with this series, is almost a Old Testament version of the book of Revelation, with the amount of end time prophecy and certainly prophecy related to the Antichrist that is located in the book of Daniel. These are two amazing books, but there is lots of connections to them. And what we find is that in Revelation chapter 9, this is a chapter that deals with the opening of the seals, the sounding of the trumpets, the seven trumpet judgments. There are seven angels who have seven trumpets, and when each one is sounded, a different judgment is unleashed upon the unbelieving world. And so at the fifth trumpet, which is found in Revelation chapter 9 verse 11, when that's opened, these beasts that are described as locusts, that are these kind of grotesque demonic beasts from the abyss of hell, they emerge and they torment the world. There's an army of creatures, that of horsemen as well, that kill a third part of the world. And in Revelation 9:18, we read, by these three meaning the horses from the abyss, the horsemen, and these locusts, by these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. So this is a devastating supernatural judgment upon the earth. You have these demonic beings that literally destroy a third of the world. So how does this connect us to Daniel chapter 5? Well, we find that in the very next verse in Revelation 9:20, after this is done, it says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So amazing to see that the gods and the idols who are worshipped, it's the exact same collection of gods, you know, that are referenced, of gold and silver, brass, of iron, of wood and stone, that we see Belshazzar all the way back in the Babylonian kingdom praising as he drinks from the vessels from the temple. So a very interesting connection there. And just shows again that there's a lack of repentance. When we have an unrepentant, unsaved heart, will ultimately turn its affection and its worship towards the devil in some form or fashion of some idol, some false god. It will direct its heart towards. And so this is a great danger, beloved. So as we continue in Daniel chapter 5, we will pick up with verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and shew me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. And of course, from our earlier chapters, we see this almost repeated ritual. You know, Nebuchadnezzar did this several times where he had a conundrum, whether it was a dream or a message that he could not interpret, and he would call on his pagan astrologers, Chaldeans, occult practitioners, and time again, they fail to answer the question of the king. And here they are again, brought out one more time, and they again cannot answer, you know, what it meant, this message that scared Belshazzar so greatly, you know, that his joints were loosened, his knees were literally knocking against each other because he was so frightened by this image. So as we continue in verse 9, then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were stonied. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit in knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and shewing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in that same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. So it's interesting. So many theologians will say that this queen was actually either the mother or grandmother of Belshazzar, that this may have actually been the wife of Nebuchadnezzar. And what the first thing to note about her and her entrance is that she was not attending the party. It was only when she was told that King Belshazzar had a problem from the supernatural message and he was so frightened that she came in to recommend Daniel. But clearly, from her knowledge of who Daniel is, it seemed that she was alive for the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, meaning that she was either Belshazzar's mother or most likely the queen of Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, because she recalls exactly who Daniel is, what he can do, and even says that there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, which is exactly the phrase that at one point Nebuchadnezzar used to describe Daniel after Daniel interpreted his dream in Daniel chapter 2. So very interesting that she comes in now to bring in wisdom and actually point Belshazzar, who is scared to death, in the right direction. And going to verse 13, we continue. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? Now, interesting to see again Belshazzar's heart. Look at the way that the queen described Daniel, that he had an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting of dreams. I mean, she praises him. She readily acknowledges that Daniel is a special person because of the God whom he worships. Whereas Belshazzar, still, even now at this point, is arrogant towards him. First of all, he doesn't even know what Daniel looks like, because when Daniel's standing before him, he's not even sure if that is him. So this shows that he had no relationship with the man of God, with the prophet of God whatsoever. And then he addresses him by saying, are you of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? So again, referencing the conquest of Israel as a way to refer to Daniel, despite the great things that Daniel had done for King Nebuchadnezzar. Continuing in verse 14, I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not shew the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read this thing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would set up, and whom he would he put down. And this is true. Nebuchadnezzar was an absolute monarch of most of the known world at the height of his kingdom. And we saw in earlier chapters that when he wanted someone executed, they were gone in a moment. And God, of course, Nebuchadnezzar learns, we saw in Daniel chapter 4, that it was God who establishes kingdoms, God who sets up kings and takes down kings, God who can exalt and abase. And certainly that was true for Nebuchadnezzar. Continuing in verse 20, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and in whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. What a rebuke. Here is Belshazzar, who had the benefit of seeing what Nebuchadnezzar went through, knowing that Nebuchadnezzar literally lived as an animal with an animal's heart and claws and damp hair, living as an animal for 7 years, all because he lifted up his heart against the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. This is what Belshazzar knew, and look at how Daniel addresses it. He says, the God in whom thy breath is, that God literally holds the breath of this king in his hands, and God can remove that breath in a moment. Did Belshazzar glorify him? No. He glorified pagan idols and he mocked God. So continuing, we will get now to the interpretation, picking up in verse 24. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And so this is, of course, where Belshazzar has to come face to face with God's wrath. The writing was on the wall, literally. That what did the prophecy, what was written there? It was prophetic. It was prophetic that his kingdom, he was being measured and weighed in the balances. And what is this? That his heart was, that he, his kingdom was coming to an end. And so we know, of course, that Daniel, so much of Daniel's heart was focused on the captivity of his people, the captivity of Israel in Babylon, and when it would come to an end. And so we know that from, as we'll find out in later chapters, that Daniel was studying the Old Testament writings up until that point. He knew and had access to the writings of Jeremiah. And it was in Jeremiah 25 that we see the initial prophecy during the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign that Israel would be taken captive. And in Jeremiah 25:12, that's where we get the confirmation that it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that the Lord will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And so here's the fulfillment of that, that the Babylonian kingdom is now being punished. The time is up, that God will now judge them. And continuing, we see that the phrase tekel is that it said that thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. And what a dangerous thing to hear from God's word, that you have been weighed in the balances, that God has judged you and you have failed. You are found wanting. You are found lacking. God's, and how can God weigh us? How can God examine us? How can God judge us? Through his word. We are going to be all judged in accordance with God's word, in accordance with God's commands. And how are we going to be found when we are balanced, when we are measured? Well, the answer is easy. In our own power, in our own will, in our own might, we are all no different than Belshazzar. We are found wanting. The only difference is God's grace working in our lives. You know, this is the danger of the unbelieving world, the arrogance, the pride, the reveling in the physical pleasures of today and the sinful pleasures of today. And many, many people are found wanting. And we see in this king, Belshazzar, the sadness of what the Bible calls the carnal mind. When your mind is absent God's spirit, is absent the renewal, the rebirth that comes with salvation, that comes with the forgiveness of sin through the shed blood of Christ Jesus. This is what you have. And of course, in Romans 8, verse 7, we read that the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And that enmity means it's at war. And here we see in this chapter a king who, because of his lack of reverence for God, because of his lack of faith, because of his lack of God's spirit, he is completely mocking the very God whose power he knows. He knew God's power, and yet he still mocked God, rejected God. Just like in the end times, when people will see God's judgment in front of their faces with their very eyes, they will see supernatural beings tormenting, killing, demonic forces, killing a third of the population, and still will not repent, and still will not cease to worship their gods of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood. But this is the danger. And when you face God's wrath absent the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a dire situation. It is a place no one wants to be. And so what is our job? Our job here is to make sure that, one, we are not found wanting, that we can be weighed and found righteous, that we are not told, depart from me, I never knew you, or depart from me to the lake of fire preserved for the devil and his angels. So we don't want to hear that message in the time of our judgment, because we are all going to stand before God. We want to hear, well done, that good and faithful servant. And that is simply done by acknowledging our sin and our need for a Savior, who is Jesus Christ, and receiving the free forgiveness when we believe and trust in the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is how we cannot and escape facing the wrath of God. Belshazzar saw the writing on the wall, received the interpretation, and in that same night, he was gone forever. And note that even after getting the interpretation, there's no repentance. He doesn't repent. He does give Daniel the rewards. He commands him to have the scarlet and be elevated to third in the kingdom. Not that this mattered, because the kingdom was going to be gone in a matter of hours. So, but certainly there was no repentance. And that is the carnal mind. And the carnal mind will face the wrath of God. And our job, beloved, is to make sure we share the gospel to as many people as we can, so they don't have to face the wrath of God. So that's our study for today. I hope you enjoyed it. we will be continuing and much on a much more frequent basis now that we're back to doing this broadcast regularly. So of course we will pick up with Daniel chapter 6, where now we will see Daniel's time in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, the Medo-Persian Empire. And we'll see how the king here, where Daniel's once again dealing with a king, and how this king will treat Daniel and how this king will interact with the man of God and the word of God. And of course we'll see a very, very powerful manifestation again of God's power and Daniel's great faith, even facing death. So stay tuned for that. For more information, go to the show description. You will find links to beginningandend.com, to our website, to our social media, to our YouTube channel. Please subscribe, rate our show, rate our program. We welcome it. It helps make us more searchable and can help us share God's word with this world. Thank you once again, and God bless you abundantly.